Amen. What child is this? When I was born, no wise men came to my... I was a twin. I came first. About 52 minutes later, my sister came. Everyone forgot about me. It just happens real fast in life, doesn't it? I mean, I had a... when my son and daughter were born, the next day, new people were in the hotel, that hospital room, and it just happens real fast, doesn't it? This child, however... Properly, I'm not whining about it, I'm simply naming, there is a difference between me and my sister and my children and you and Jesus. The difference is very simply that he is God and we are not. So here we are 2,000 years later getting to share this story over and over and over again. And I love to tell the story because it is the story that allows for us to have joy in every single day. The story that makes every other story possible. The witness of Jesus, the witness of God who is willing to become flesh and dwell among us. That witness is what gives our life purpose and meaning and joy every day. I find it remarkable how quickly, however, things change. It was 40 years ago that my sister and I were born at Carrollton Hospital. It was 7 and 5 years ago that my children were born, and I am just utterly floored at how quick everything changes. Just how rapid. I think sometimes about what advice I would give Mary. Let's say they were to say, Arthur, you get to go and you get to give the mother of Jesus advice. I don't know that I would have any except the standard advice that I was given. I only found two pieces of advice helpful that my wife and I were given when she was pregnant. One of which was the number one goal is to get the baby to sleep. There are no, through the night, there are no other goals besides that goal for the first 8 weeks or so. Once everyone sleeps, everyone's happier, then the family can function. It's great advice, highly recommended. It still holds true. However, the second piece of advice is the most significant, and the problem is there's nothing to solve with it, right? The first one, there are methods to strategize how to get a baby to sleep. Doesn't always work. Did with mine, thank you, Lord, and I'm grateful for the advice that helped my children sleep through the night. But the second bit of advice that remains the most true is, to a large extent, the one I can't figure out how to solve. And it's the advice of don't blink, it goes too fast. Just how true is that? I tell people I can't believe my kids are 5 and 7. Parents for whom they got kids in college say, just wait. You have no idea how fast it goes. You are still in the slow season of your life. And I realize how terrifying that is. My mom has said recently, I had no idea it would be this quick to get this old. It's true for all of us, isn't it? Just how rapid things change. I had a moment of nostalgia on Sunday because I went to baptize along with Lauren a baby on Sunday, a little boy, this adorable boy. And his mom was on one of the first ski trips I ever took. Then I walk in to go and preach, because normally I preach the 11 o'clock contemporary and Lauren preaches the 11 o'clock traditional, and someone who was on my first ski trip holds the door open for me with her husband and says, hey, welcome, come on in, Arthur. And I think, that was only 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I showed up as an associate pastor here with no job description. This is my first Christmas Eve, 15 years ago. I had no job description back then. My job was to help start a young adult group, but we had no young adults. So I tell people I really had no job description. I was just trying things and see if it would work. We're a whole different church now than we were 15 years ago. And I find it just remarkable because it was 15 years ago. I remember that first Christmas Eve sermon like it was just yesterday. It had come on the heels of our youth ski trip back when ski resorts didn't realize they could extort people. And And we had just gone, there was enough time before the end of school year and Christmas Eve for us to hop on a bus and take the bus all the way to Crested Butte and come back. Some of my favorite people that are still leaders at St. Andrew were people that I met on that bus that trip. Because there's nothing, by the way, like being unified with other adults against 40 high schoolers overnight on a bus to bond you deeply for decades. It's just a remarkable gift that I got that day. But I remember it that Christmas Eve because of what some of the kids told me when I was on the ski lift with them. My specialty is teaching kids how to go down their first black. That way I love doing that. And I was going up on a ski lift with a bunch of kids. And you ought to know that when I started here, so in the Methodist church, they don't give you the stole. This is called a stole until you're fully ordained. So I was kind of like partially ordained when I started here. So I dressed like this. And I'm on the bus ride. I'm on the ski lift up. And one of the kids said, "So do you know what we call you?" I'm like, uh-oh. "No, I have no idea what you call me. What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, you know, like in Hogwarts, how they wear the robes and stuff? That's what you look like." And I go, "Okay, but what do you call me?" And they go, "Tom Riddle, who is Voldemort, by the way, like the young, evil, genius, like wizard guy, the bad guy." They're like, "That's your nickname to us because you look like Tom Riddle when he comes back young." And I go, "Are you kidding me? Like, that's what I'm known as? None of these kids know me except I was the overenthusiastic young preacher who showed up. And then they called me Tom Riddle." And then on my first Christmas Eve, so I was asked to preach the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve sermon. Charles Stokes, our longtime associate pastor, was it normally preached that service, but that year he chose to go on a cruise with his family, and I stand up like this. And on the third or fourth row, right about there, these kids had a sign, "We Heart Tom Riddle." In my first candlelight Christmas Eve service to preach in this place. And I'm baptizing their kids. And yet I'm still their pastor. I find it just remarkable that to a large extent in this place, here at St. Andrew, we've become to a lot of people the constant thing in their lives. Every Christmas Eve, they go to this service. They have this tradition. We are the constant. I've gotten to hug more kids that grew up here tonight than I have in the last 6 months because they came back home from wherever they live. And we're the constant piece in it. Because they know for certain that at the end of this night, we are going to walk over there to the Christ candle and pass the light. And that light is going to flow from one person to another until it fills the room and we will sing Silent Night. And there will be some element of God or magic or hope or spirit or life in a place where they go, "That's constant." You see, because I believe, I've struggled with this because tonight, for our candlelight Christmas services, we're going to have around 7,000 people show up between all of our candlelight services. And we average about 2,000 on a Sunday. And I think, what is different about this night? And I think it's that fact that we are a constant. That there is a constant element of a story that you know that you maybe watched first when Linus spoke the passage of Luke. A moment where the spotlight comes and all of the extra stuff fades away and you wonder what's real and what's true and what's certain. There is a constancy, but I want to dissuade you from one notion that constancy comes from us. St. Andrew, there was a time where St. Andrew did not exist. I've only been senior pastor here for 3.5 years. There was a senior pastor before me, and his name was Robert Hasley, and I loved him. There will be a pastor after me, praise God. God willing, I'll hand it off the way Robert did very well and say, "Go on, take him to new heights." That's the goal. You see, the constancy here is not me. It's not this church. It's not this sanctuary. The constancy comes from the story of God. None of us are constant. There was a moment where I was not, and then I existed. The only constant one is the one who made the world. There are two kinds of people. So there's a comedian I like who's only mostly clean in his language, and so I can't share him publicly on video on Christmas Eve, or I might. But his name's Pete Holmes. He's a Christian. He's got a great bit that's 99% clean. And yet, what I love, it got shared around this year, and I love it, because what he was doing is he said, listen, there are two kinds of people in the world. You got the God people, and you got the nothing people. And the nothing people think the God people are crazy, because we believe in something you can't smell, taste, see, or touch, or hear, although I must tell you, Moses would dispute that. And he goes, but the God people think the nothing people are actually crazier, because they believe in nothing, something you can't smell, taste, hear, or touch, or feel, right? They don't have any of that. He goes, and you know what doesn't exist? Because we are all here in this moment, you know what certainly doesn't exist? Nothing. In fact, crazy story, if you go out into outer space, you make a vacuum where there's literally nothing within it, particles actually pop in and out of existence. I had a kid at the 2 o'clock service today yell out, nothing doesn't exist? And I want to tell you, no, that's actually the point of creation, is that God made a world where amazing things happen, where the only constant is Him. You and I are not constant. We elevate too often in our lives things that shouldn't be elevated because we want to worship something. We want to care passionately about something. So we worship our kids or our relationship with our kids. Some of us, God forbid, actually celebrate kids' sports. Some of us celebrate our own activities or our jobs or our careers or our resources or our money or whatever it is that we put our value in. And here's the funny thing. Ain't none of that's gonna last. No one's gonna give their life for their house or their stuff or their car. What do? You would give it for your kids. This is what Christmas is. The moment where God became flesh, that which is permanent, that which is constant, entered into mortal flesh, entered into this world so that we might know Him, so that we might recognize that there is something immovable, something certain, and something sure. I want to read to you two quick passages. I'm going to put them on the screen at the same time because I want you to hear. You heard Scott say that this scripture, the Colossian scripture, came about 25 years after Jesus. The Gospel of John was not far from it. John 1:18 reads like this. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father and has made Him known. Or the verse that Scott just read, Colossians 1:15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It feels to me like the constant in our world is change. That we used to believe that a job was going to be there with a pension. That we used to imagine that actually the politicians would remain or care that. And we've realized in our world that, frankly, you could win one election and lose the next. You could have a job and not have it next Christmas. You could have a house or not have a house, that what the relationships and all the things that you imagine are solid in this world, we know too many instances where it has proven flaky and nothing and short and temporary. And tonight, what I hope you hear is that there is one thing that is permanent. And it is not me, and it is not this building, and it is not St. Andrew or even this gathered body. It is the God who made the world, who was before there was a world, who entered it into human flesh so that we might live forever. Do you know that actually God's goal is to make you, who are temporary, permanent? That's what this whole thing is about. For us to shed our mortality and put on immortality. There is only one permanent thing, and it was the one who at the very beginning said, let there be light, and then there was light. The one who told Abraham, I'm going to care for my children, and I will redeem all people. The one who went to Moses and spoke out of the burning bush and said to the prophets, I will come through a virgin. The one who entered human life and proved that he was God by his resurrection from the dead. There is one permanent thing, and he asks you to participate in it with him. I have done too many things in this life as a pastor where I have seen how temporary and impermanent our lives are. And I realize that there is for me one permanent thing, and it's not my marriage. It's not me being senior pastor here. It's not even the ability to stand up here and do Silent Night as we're about to do. It's that there was a God who knew me when I was in my mother's womb and loved me. And one who, when my work is done on this earth, shall welcome me home, and I pray will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is the permanent thing. And the hope that I ask of you is to put everything in service of that. I don't worship my marriage. In my marriage, my wife and I worship God. I don't worship my family. My family and I worship God. I don't worship my job. At my job, we worship God. This is what is permanent and what is real. And so if you're wondering what to give your life to, what to invest in, I suggest you invest in the one thing that is eternal, the one who made us, and the one who says, "I've come and I'm coming back." Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the fact that the immortal put on mortality, that the one who made all things put on flesh and dwelt among us so that we might participate in life with him. Amen. As we continue with, of course, this close today, as we sing Silent Night together, I pray that you would take a moment and ponder what's permanent in your life. Are you seeking something that won't satisfy, or are you seeking the one who made you and loved you and who came to earth for you? Would you stand and sing?